pass this high score in this pinball machine.
It's,
you mean you can't get past it as in you can't beat it, or
I can't beat it. I ordered these three pinball machines to spruce up the place last week, and the Simpsons has got me stumped.
All those scores are pretty low. Like that's is that 100?
106. Yeah, I cannot get past 106.
Yeah, these seem to be the default settings. You know when they show up and it's like they're all ABC, the high score initials. These are straight from the factory, it looks like.
Yeah, I haven't gotten past the point where I can put my initials in.
Wait, these machines also don't look like they've been played.
Well, the Simpsons one looks like it's been played once or twice, I would say. There's a lot of peanut butter on the right button here.
Oh.
And the knob there.
Yeah, a little bit of peanut butter really all over it. Now that I'm really looking for the peanut butter, I'm seeing it more.
Look, I'll admit, when the movers were moving it in...
Oh, that's chunky. That's the chunky kind.
Yep.
You can see. The movers needed some sort of lube to get it through the door. And
you thought peanut butter was a sufficient lubricant?
Chunky. And you know, the chunky peanut butter?
Famous stickiest substances you can have?
I was going to go for butter, like a nice warm melted butter, but we were all out. And all we had left was chunky Jif. So.
Grant, I think we need to talk about your shopping habits, because this is not the first time you've needed to lubricate items to get into the break room here, but also there is no scenario in which an individual needs three pinball machines, Grant.
I mean, come on. Haven't you were a kid once, right, Leo?
Yeah, and I played one pinball machine.
All right, well, I'm a man of... Look, my family has always had a taste for competition. And when I was growing up, the Lincoln household, we needed at least three of everything to sate all of the relatives. You know, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a bit of a player.
Famously not.
What? Honest Abe, you don't think
this
for
is
any of you listeners?
And apparently true. I learned that Abraham Lincoln may well have had two gay lovers.
Is a family secret, which I guess isn't a secret anymore.
If Leo knows, it's not secret. Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of things that are supposed to be secret. So.
I just shared one. Why don't you share?
You know how SeaWorld produced Blackfish?
No.
They produced the film Blackfish at SeaWorld because they thought...
Wait, sorry. They produced it at SeaWorld? Because, yeah, that makes sense.
No. The higher-ups at SeaWorld shot and filmed Blackfish themselves and produced the film and under a pen name or a studio de plume, if you will.
I knew that too. I did a lot of the stunts for the whales.
Dorsh, you were that woman whose ponytail gets grabbed.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. That was probably one of my least favorite stunts I had to do.
The prosthetics were great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You looked good with a ponytail.
Still do, if I wanted.
Dorsh, do you have any secrets?
You don't want to know why they produced Blackfish? The single most damning piece of media?
Okay.
I'm good. I'm pretty good.
You guys good? Okay, we'll move on.
Why not?
I don't want to tell now.
Okay.
Well, I could tell you guys the secret from my home country. Well, hot dogs back in where I'm from, they're served pretty cold. It's shocking.
Thank you for sharing. That was very brave.
Yeah. Family secret.
Here's your chip.
Sorry?
Here's your chip.
I don't want this potato chip. What? Why?
I was trying to parody like a alcoholic chip. Like he said, thanks for sharing. Anyway, poor taste.
You know, well, I'm
considering who's in the room. Very poor taste.
You know. You know.
Dorsh, to be fair, you're wearing your AA t-shirt.
I know, and it still makes a stupid joke.
Yeah, well, okay. If you weren't comfortable with it, maybe you shouldn't publicize the fact that you are a recovering addict.
I hate to side with Grant on this one, but he does have a point.
Just cost my shirt says AA is fun.
Yes.
No, exactly.
All right. Well,
Grant, if you're not going to eat those chips, though, I haven't eaten all
day. Oh, please. Please, by all means. Cape Cod makes the best.
Are these the pickle-flavored ones?
Yes, spicy dill.
Not as bad as I would have thought.
No, they're actually pretty good. It's a unique flavor profile.
You could cool that down with the peanut butter probably, too.
Yeah, I don't think I need to. It's a chip.
All right, yeah, I thought it might be a hot chip. We still have our chips hot. So, all right, don't worry about it.
So I told you about my family reunion, right?
You told us that it was happening, but you didn't tell us any of the details.
Yeah, so we all met at Gettysburg.
This historically this happened like a long time ago, or is
recent? We recently did the 444th anniversary family reunion at the Lincoln Lodge at Gettysburg. It may so
the
well
440th anniversary of what?
Of my my ancestors' origin.
Sex?
Yes. When the progenitors of my family first conceived the very first Lincoln, one might say the beginning of Lincoln Logs. They laid Lincoln Logs. That's what we celebrate every year. It has nothing to do with the fact that Abraham Lincoln was the president. That was a fun little happenstance. So we meet every year at Gettysburg. Again, not because of Abraham Lincoln, just a fun little happenstance. And this past weekend was the 440th anniversary of the Lincoln name. All the greats were there.
I had one other question, and just curious if happenstance. When there was a war at Gettysburg, that was probably less than 400 something years ago. Were you guys having your reunion around that time?
Yeah, I mean, we had to do it. It is tradition. So we rented out, and I'm using the royal we here.
What are the odds?
Yeah, hey, wars happen, and I'm not going to lie, they don't stop the rest of the world, so we...
At that point, the tradition already had to be at maybe 150, 200 years, and my American history is not that good, but...
Well, no, Dorsh, you do have a point, because let's say the first Lincolns came over at... I don't know, on the Jamestown settlement, so 1609 or whenever that was, and so that's still a little under 400. So with the first few, how long was it until you guys settled on Gettysburg? Because it seems like you guys were there, and then the town kind of sprang up around your family reunions. Is that fair to say?
Yep. Yeah, it's...
Why are you crying, Grant?
It's Grant. You know, I don't talk about my family that much because it really...
This handkerchief.
Thank you. It really just gets to me, you know?
Oh, there was peanut butter in that one, I think.
Oh.
How? How could you, Grant, sorry. Did you put peanut butter on the chairs as well?
Everything. The door. Jesus, you know how Christ. Small these doors are. Just try getting up from your chair right now.
I appear to be stuck. Thank
exactly.
you, Grant.
Mine's got butter.
Oh, you just slip right off.
Not bad.
I'm sorry for tearing up, guys. It's my family is very important to me, and yes, Gettysburg was created around my family. It
checks out.
So initially, I thought that the Gettysburg Address was going to be a coincidence, but now it sounds as if Abraham Lincoln was giving the address, took a break from the festivities to go address and liberate slaves only in the southern colonies. But
yeah, there was a huge game of tennis going on at that time, and Abraham was
huge game.
Yep. The biggest part of the Lincoln Lodge every year. That's what we call our anniversary. Our
Lodge?
The Lincoln Lodge. Oh. The biggest part of the Lincoln Lodge is the big tennis game. And Abraham, you know, he was president at this time. And he...
At the time of the Gettysburg Address?
Yep.
I'm learning so much about American history. I need to start taking notes right now.
So he lobbed the tennis ball way up into the air. And while it was still up there, he walked down the street, gave the address, liberated the slaves, and then got right back on the court for his opponent to hit the ball back to him. True story.
Wow. I feel like I've been what do they say, red pilled, you know? I feel like I'm seeing the world for what it is and not what I've been told, and
it's another secret of the Lincoln family.
So, in addition to big tennis games, what sort of activities did you participate in?
Oh, we always do that. We always do that thing where we tie a string between two trees and have donuts on the string. And
oh, donut on a string!
Donut on a string. Yes. We once had to do bagel on a string because there was a sugar shortage. That one was a little harder.
When was the sugar shortage?
Around the same time as the Great Molasses Flood. And
coincidence.
Yeah, actually, it's just happenstance. So donut on a string, big tennis, and then there's the classic family reunion games, like three-legged race, never have I ever, and ghost stories around the campfire. The rest is just drinking and debauchery, you know.
Debauchery?
Oh, yeah. The Lincolns are a lewd group.
Okay. Well, not really something I associate with family activities, but...
yeah.
To each their own, I guess.
Look, 440 years is a long time. Okay? I'll leave it at that.
And how many people tend to be in attendance at these things?
Let's see. We had... 16 families with 16 children per family, 5 grandchildren, probably like 75 families.
75 families?
Your prior math didn't really lend itself to that number.
I mean 75 people. There are about 75 people.
Only from 400 years of breeding, inbreeding?
75 people per day. We had time slots.
Of course.
This is sounding like quite the event. Like,
yeah, I'd say there were probably like 750 people over the span of the long weekend, to be honest.
This definitely explains your wristbands.
Oh, you see all these?
One from every year.
Yes, you know, I usually wear long sleeves, but this time of year, I break out the tank tops to show off my 440 hospital style wristbands.
You do often wear long sleeves. I never really put it together that you often wear long sleeves into hot weather like that.
Mm. They're almost always longer than necessary. Almost. Just in case I ever have to raise my hand and this, I can't have the sleeve falling
down. Do they make longer sleeves and longest sleeve shirts?
Longest I certainly sleeve.
Do. That's true.
Oh. We had that one film a couple of months ago where it was just, it was like cats, but instead of them being cats, they were all just people with long arms.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, it wasn't like cats, but in several ways, it was. There was a lot of sort of the dancers showing their hindquarters and visible rectums, and so the project was eventually scrapped. But God, I worked like hell on it.
How many yards of fabric 11. Did you say goes into 11? Okay,
goes into. Yeah. I'm sorry. Finish your question.
Goes into a longest sleeve shirt.
Okay, phew, I got it right. I got nervous.
Yeah.
Longest sleeve shirt. You get 11 yards of fabric, four for the actual shirt because you want it to billow, and then the rest of the shirt is the remaining 7 yards. 3.5 per sleeve. As you can see, I'm wearing one now.
Yes.
And
if you were outside, the gust of wind would have just taken you away, but we're inside, so that doesn't really matter.
The oscillating fan does trick you a lot, Grant.
It does. I see movement and I'm like a squirrel. Anyway,
that film this week.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Were you talking about the one that just wrapped or the new one coming up?
I think it's the one that just wrapped. I'm thinking of
leather.
I could be wrong.
So, are we trying to segue here? Because it feels like we should be trying to segue.
I agree. I just wasn't sure which film he was talking about: Leather Roses or The Translator.
Let me think about it for a little while.
Take your time, Dorsch. Take your time.
Where the stunt man, the guy with the button. You know what? Is The Translator. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what reminded me of that?
What?
This person sitting right here.
Oh. Dorsch, why don't you introduce us? I can't believe I didn't even notice.
Well, I didn't interact with you much.
Grant, are you okay?
Wait, here comes the fan, Grant. Get ready.
Whoa. But tie those things up, Leo.
I'm sorry. They have a mind of their own. I won't wear a shirt that won't billow.
So this here is Leslie Knight, and she was the director of The Translator. Wow, that's my first intro. That was rough.
I can cut that out. We can take it again. Do you want to try again?
Yeah, maybe you do it, Grant. That was rough. Wow.
No. Why don't we all take a shot at it?
On three? Yes.
At the same time?
At the same time. We'll each introduce Leslie Knight.
Okay.
All right. One, two, three.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Oh, yes, you can introduce yourself.
Yeah, that's easier. Way easier, yeah.
Hair director.
Hi. Hello. It's so wonderful to be with you all today. I'm Leslie Knight.
So you do pronounce the K.
Yes. I say it's like a bad date where you just finish it off and say, okay, Knight.
I haven't been on a date in 24 years. I'm not a sexual being, but I understand sort of what
Leo.
You're...
Leo, how old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
How many years did I just say?
You said 24.
24? I'm 28.
So you went on a date at 4 years old?
Well, I was confused, but yes.
Okay. How old was she? Or he?
She was...
Probably shouldn't have answered this one.
She was also four.
Good.
And it was... I thought just an innocent tea party. I didn't realize she had feelings for me at the time.
It happened early.
I apologize, Miss Knight. It's such an honor to have you in the studio. I'm just a little bit nervous. The translator is... Well, maybe tell the listener what the translator is in your words, because if I attempt to describe it, I feel I will do it a great disservice.
That's too kind. I think anybody that wears billowy shirts must have an intrinsic understanding of what it means to be a translator across time or space. So the translator comes at a very prescient moment. I've been working on this film for quite some time. And, you see, it's a story of a young millennial who finds herself out of work. And she's going about her day doing bureaucratic things as one does when one becomes an adult and realizes that there are forms to fill out and places to apply for.
Sorry, are you transcribing everything you're saying? Oh. It sounds like you're typing.
No, I'm sorry, I'm a fidgeter.
Oh, okay, no worries.
I am transcribing though.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
Well, I'm typing on my phone, but I have the clickies on my keyboard.
Gotcha. Leslie, please don't let me stop you from fidgeting. I'm a fidgeter as well. You'll never see my legs stop.
Should I stop popping this bubble wrap too, or?
That one, maybe.
Should I stop carving into the table so much with this with this flint knife?
No, you can keep doing that one. Just,
okay, I've almost drawn a full guy.
Oh, you're just missing a few parts.
Well, I do what I can.
Yeah. Proceed, Leslie. I'm so sorry for interrupting.
So the translator is it's quite simple, really. It's a young woman who understands that another woman needs a specific form to be filled out, but this woman, for whatever reason, cannot get the attendant to understand that this is the form she needs. And so this young millennial, acts as a translator. And it's a larger commentary on the need for translation to specific people in the population in order for them to have access to a lot of bureaucratic structural systems. But it's quite a dry subject, I suppose, when you explain it abstractly, but it has a lot of humor throughout.
No, I think the comedic aspect of this really hit home in the pre-screenings. I know we haven't fully finished producing it, but the parts that we have, we've shown to focus groups, and they could not stop laughing.
This movie is so in my wheelhouse, you have no idea.
I'm a big fan of it, and all the explosion scenes too. Really good stuff.
Well, normally you don't see, when you expect a printer to explode, you expect a big explosion, but one of the things that's so, I think, shows how good and smart this movie is that nothing interesting happens ever. And so the explosion of the printer is more just an explosion of a little bit of an ink cartridge and maybe a little spark. Someone, spoiler alert, looses the cord in such a way that it sparks and kerzaps, I guess is the word I was looking for.
On a similar note, I had a very easy time making the props for this one because there was no nothing interesting about any of the props. It was I could just go to Staples and buy paper and various other easily accessible office supplies. So that made my job a whole hell of a lot easier.
Well, I have...
No, go ahead, Leslie. Go. Please.
But, you know, I see the story very much as in, you know, the big changes that can happen in society aren't giant explosions, but rather these small instances of change and interaction. And so I was wondering, I was wondering, Grant, when you were selecting the props, you know, because your space was confined in this mundane way, did you then pay more attention to, say, the weight of the paper that you selected?
Yeah, I would. It's very rare that I get a chance to use cardstock.
Oh, you won't shut up about cardstock.
Listen, it is the best paper to work with. It's thick, it's sturdy, and it is reliable. Much unlike Janet.
Low blow.
Yeah, not cool, man. Not cool.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Don't bring your personal life into it. We heard they've got your damn Lincoln Memorial reunion for the first 15 minutes.
Oh, I didn't tell you about our memorial at the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, fuck.
You really stepped in it there.
Motherfucker. I stepped in the peanut butter, didn't I?
Stepped in the peanut... Well, I... Oh, yes. It looks like you actually did step in the peanut butter.
Fuck.
Well, I'll save you the trouble. I bumped into Janet at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., which is where everyone in the family, the Lincoln family, stops on the way to Gettysburg, no matter what direction you're coming from. she was taking a tour. I was walking through, and we had a little reunion. That's it. There's nothing else to it. I won't tell you anymore unless you ask. So please Leslie.
No one ask. Please.
That does seem like a great place to play big tennis, though. Miss Knight, I have a question. I have been obsessing over this film, of course, because I love a film that is a commentary on the things it's directly doing. So to me, this film felt very real and very grounded in a way that most films don't. And so as a costume designer, it pushed me in a way that most films don't. So how does this film challenge you as a director? What were the hardest parts? What were things that you didn't expect to be challenged by, but you found as obstacles to overcome?
Well, we did make our set in some unused office buildings, which were perfect for all the bureaucratic scenes that take place there. But I guess one obstacle I didn't think that I would have to handle as a director was guiding the cast and the production crew of how to, you know, how to work around the vermin problem that was, of course, that in was, this abandoned building.
That was a problem? I thought that was part of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, good job, everyone. Team effort on that one.
So how did you work around the vermin? Because there was no getting them out of the building, right? So on Star Wars, they CGI'd these puffins that were all over this island to turn them into little alien creatures. Did you do anything similar to these rats? How did that come about? What did you end up doing about the problem?
Oh, Well, first, we made sure all the cast was and production crew, of course, like yourselves, was quite safe and so up to date. All the tetanus, vaccines, babies.
Yeah, one vaccine a day, every day, was a little overkill, in my opinion.
Well,
I think you're supposed to get those once every like 10 years, maybe?
Yes.
I was vaccinated for HPV 3 times on that set, which I think is too many.
I don't really have any health insurance, so I was really loving it. I wanted all the shots. I got 12 shots in one of the days.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at these boys.
You were so dizzy that day.
I don't think those were shots, Dorsch. I think you were injected with that bodybuilder oil.
You look great, though.
I thought...
No, vaccines are not supposed to make you swole.
I thought flu vaccine just...
Well, Dorsch, were you receiving your injections from a young woman in a lab coat and some personal protective equipment, or a man with a very thick neck down outside of the building?
Well, it was tough to tell, because the person that gave it to me had sunglasses on.
Okay, already a big red flag.
And a big metal chain around their neck, like 2-inch chain. But, you know, he had needles with fluid, so it seemed pretty good.
And there was no signage or anything around there? Did he have any sort of... How did you meet this man?
It was in an alley, and there was a sign.
Again, already that said, not
no dumping. But
no dumping.
No dumping?
Yeah, like, you haven't seen those signs?
No, I've seen those signs. Crates.
Why are you guys acting so weird? Like, it's a normal sign.
Look, Dorsch, I think you got scammed.
How much did you pay for
these? Look at these biceps.
We're not telling you.
How did you get scammed?
Great.
I got biceps and flu protection.
You are visibly sick, Dorsch. Your biceps, while shapely, are clearly, infected a little bit around those injection sites. And I don't want to be the one. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. But I think you got instead of a flu vaccine for a rat, you got an injection of bodybuilder oils from. A guy named Wet Rick, who's been hanging out outside of the building.
We gotta get rid of him.
Well, that's
I
not good.
Trying. He's too slippery.
Because I got bit by a lot of rats. I kind of thought I had protection, so I was just letting them nibble.
Yes, that is what we advise some of the production crew, especially those... fellows with the sound booms to do.
Grips.
The boomers?
Yeah. You advised them to get nibbled?
Yes. We have an ethos of put up or shut up. So.
Well, that's timely. I really wanted to ask, I know this was based on a true story, and I know it was deliberate choice that it was filmed in the past during the Industrial Revolution when printing presses were first made.
Sorry, did I say printer earlier? I meant
printing. I think you made
press.
The mistake. Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to know how that...
And again, printing press is invented, I believe, in the 1400s. So this was very much a period piece. I forgot to mention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the rats really were part of.
Oh, I mean
the setting.
Bubonic. Yes, yeah, for sure.
So when we said you looked ill, Dorsch, you look bubonic. Bubonic, bubon.
You look plague-like.
Plagued.
And thankfully, I was wearing my Plague Doctor outfit perchance that day.
Oh, I thought that was a Commedia dell'arte costume.
You think... No. Commedia dell'arte is like clowns. I was doing the big, long beak and...
There is one...
I know what Commedia dell'arte is. Don't shame me.
I don't know what it is.
Anyway, yes, I showed up that day, pure chance, wearing my Plague Doctor outfit, and I didn't realize the way I was breathing was making a sort of flute sound, and the next thing I knew, 25 rats were following me around and doing my bidding.
And that's why I didn't get bitten, because I didn't have to come on set until after the flute started. So the rats were all busy following you.
They made me brunch. And so, when it comes to translation, most of the film is in English, but obviously there's a language barrier. And so, did you have trouble directing in both English and French, or was?
Well, no, I think...
if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine.
No, I think...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cross... clearly, this is a hard topic for you. I didn't mean to...
Alternatively, if you would like to answer this question in French, you are more than welcome to.
No, I wouldn't... I wouldn't like to do that either. I just would like to say that so much of language, we often put an emphasis on the words, but language is largely non-verbal. So through gesturing and facial expressions, one can communicate, I think, quite easily, English or French, and so there were only a few minor difficulties in the translation. Douche was a large one, and
douche was tricky for these to translate in and out of it.
Well,
English
I mean,
to French.
It must have also been hard because the lead character's name was Douche.
I'm going to be honest.
Again,
it's
difficult to translate in and out of French.
I was confused too, because when they said douche, I really thought they were saying dorsh. So I was confused too.
Mm. Yeah, that's I believe dorsh why you kept sitting in the chair for the lead.
This is not the first time dorsh has sat in a director or actor's chair.
When we did that talking car movie with the Porsche character, oh, every scene.
That was a nightmare. Oh.
I was more
when you worked
when
on Cars,
that.
Cars oh the God. Musical.
I was thinking of when we did the live rendition of Monster House, and you thought Porch was.
Yeah, it's
you.
You'd think I got injections in my ears and not my biceps.
Also, Sausage Party the musical was tough for you. The German version. You are often referred to as Borscht.
Let's not go through the whole list. It's a
I think
one.
I sat in a director's chair several episodes ago. Now that is, we can cut this out.
Okay.
I do find that there is something very satisfying about sitting in a chair for the A-listers, even though you're not necessarily supposed to. It's a little dirty, a little fun.
I like that when you're sitting in one, not facing any, like people are behind you. They don't know that it's not Nicolas Cage sitting in his chair.
Well,
so
they know you weren't Daniel Day-Lewis, Grant, when we worked on that movie.
He played my great-great-great-great-grandfather, and I felt entitled to sit in that seat. So Fight with me on that one all you want, but I'm...
He did. He knocked you right out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just another story for a Lincoln to tell.
Miss Knight, Knight, I'm sorry. The climax scene in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Was...
I'm not a sexual being, but I thought it was quite tasteful.
Could you just explain what happened in the climactic moment for us, Leslie?
Yes. So the apex of the movie was really quite powerful because you had the two leads and they were standing on the edge of the rooftop and they were looking out along the Champs-Élysées in Paris, and you had this moment of understanding between the printmaker and somebody that then used the forms, and well, really, it was just quite rousing because she finally felt understood. Yes.
Sorry, Crash, can I have my handkerchief back?
Oh, you're crying.
It's kind of covered in chunky peanut butter, but here you go.
Okay. I
stuck to my face.
I normally don't get these deeper emotional movies, so I was really pleased and felt very connected when it said clearly in text on the screen, understood, like across the entire screen at that one point.
Yeah, or for me, it was a really clever use of the old ways that silent movies would show dialogue. Mm-hmm. The screen would just go black and there'd be like a symbol, like filigree around the edges. And then in the center was like, the words, kind of like an old Charlie Chaplin. So it was very interesting how you interwove the past and the present like that.
Yeah, sure. And for a printing press that's a little bit before silent movies, so we're jamming all these time space continuum is sort of stretchy when you get to call the shots in the movie. But I feel those silent movie eras, they were very clear to the point. This is what's happening. This explicitly is the thing that's happening. And for audiences, it may not be necessary, but for, not native English speakers or people like Dorsch in general, it can be quite useful.
This one was particularly tricky for our in-house translators to translate because this had a worldwide release. So there were countless renditions of this movie created. One for each language is what I'm saying.
Oh, yes. And some for
they were all different.
Oh, some for the lost languages as well. There are quite a few dying languages where you only have one or two speakers left. And, these...
We made sure to get those people this movie, though.
Yes.
The Babylonian cut of this movie is I would say, a near-perfect film.
Mm-hmm. So much better than the ancient Set people from Africa.
Well, not sure.
The cut of the film. No. We don't want to go ranking races on this podcast, for sure.
Of course I was talking about the cut of the film.
what was I gonna say?
There was, and then I thought it was over when it said understood, and all of the credits rolled, but the post credit scene
the teaser
where you see this man in from the future clearly arrive. Really, I'll be honest, very confusing for me. Miss Knight, can tell me about what's going to happen next.
And how difficult was it to make the concept of time travel as uninteresting as you did? Because, again, nothing in this movie is interesting at all. Nothing interesting happens. And so to introduce time travel, you seem obsessed with the space-time continuum. So I'd like to kind of see how you dulled that down for everybody.
Well, it's quite simple, really, especially if you have a degree in quantum physics. But what it is time is just a concept, really. And so if you begin to question the premises to that concept and say, this rule applies, this rule does not apply, I mean, that's bureaucracy functioning, right? That's how we've decided to structure society. So you take one or two of those aspects away and it really becomes quite clear. And wow, the ending post-credit scene was really amazing with the man sort of appearing from the heavens, jumping onto the bridge, and then what happens? We don't really know. And I absolutely love the futuristic costume that you gave him, Leopold. Can you tell me what inspired you?
Oh, I'm flattered that you really appreciated the hard work that went into it. So there is an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where the turtles go into the past to see sort of where they came up. It's sort of a butterfly anyway. The point being, I was largely inspired by the Ninja Turtles in terms of his eye bandana and overall shell. And otherwise, I was inspired by the classic film Gone with the Wind in terms of the lower skirt area and the hat, I thought was reminiscent of that film. And so overall, I found that the pieces, while they did not mesh, they painted sort of a dark, bleak, bureaucratic future that also had room for hope and creativity and there was a lack of uniformity there that I thought, and also the evolution of a carapace, I think, is the next step in human evolution. So I was very excited to be able to work with the makeup and effects people on that. Dorsch was very helpful in that field as well.
Yeah, I didn't really know what you were talking about. So I just I kind of just put a spike on them.
Dorsch, you haven't seen the Ninja Turtles, have you?
No.
Because the spike, while inspired, is not something that turtles really have. Have you seen a turtle?
No, we don't really have cartoons or have you seen, turtles.
Okay, have you seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Listen, I know what you're doing. It's very offensive at the end of words and think that you can make a show from where I'm from because it's not that way.
What about Teenage Mutant Ninja Lizards?
Oh my God! Yes, yes. That's a great show. There are little green blobbies with it's kind of like a coconut crust on their backs, and they fight crime. So that's a good show. I didn't know you know that, Leo.
I took a swing.
I think going back to this after credit scene, I think Gary Busey was the right choice.
Agreed.
He really portrays the crazed future man.
He really got launched off of that bridge. Just like really.
Yeah, we went with practical in the effects
dullest
there.
Way possible, launched to his doom.
But very boring. It was incredible.
It was a slow launch.
When you guys said we're launching Busey 3,000 feet from the future into his death, and you said, and it can't be exciting. Yeah, right. That's what I thought.
The key is to make Mr. Busey fly very slowly across the sky. And we did have to pay him extra for that. That's quite a lot of time in the saddle. So, you know, having to be all
hitched
up.
He's still up there.
Mm.
He's still up there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, that was an oversight on our part.
We could correct that probably right now. I mean, it's right over there.
Well, no, he got tangled up in these power lines, and so if we cut any of the cables, he may electrocute himself to death.
Luckily, he's not really doing any other work these days, so he has nothing else to do.
Or is the plan just to let this one play out?
I think it is. You know, we should probably check in with him every once in a while, just give an update on how Busey's doing.
But if we're not planning on actually helping him or feeding him, then I don't want to know.
I like his teeth.
Yes, I believe that PG&E is taking care of him. The power company.
Yeah, lovely to hear. They're zip lining him foot long sandwiches every
yeah. They're
twice
not taking
a day.
Care of him to get him down. This power company is purely keeping him alive.
No, because
but they
know
they can't cut the lines.
Yeah, that would cut power to the whole tri-state area.
Well, there's precedent for this specific situation.
Yeah,
legally
it happened
speaking.
Before with. With Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah
right?
Jessica, exactly. You know the scenario.
Yeah, she was up there for 3 months.
Mm. What was that film?
That was for Sex in the City, yeah.
Oh, okay. I forgot that. Yeah.
Look, I know I could listen to you talk for hours more, Leslie. But I have 16 of my cousins waiting in the car. I'm driving them back to their respective homes all across the country. And so what I'm saying is I've got to get going. So
you drove them all here from Gettysburg?
Yeah, we had an episode scheduled.
So they've all been waiting in the car for an hour?
Is that how long it's been? Wow, I told them 6 minutes.
We can do this remote next time, Grant. If you're across the country.
Or not at all.
High five.
Grant, can you amp up that high five in post?
Yes. Yeah, I'll make sure it's heard. Leslie, do you have any plugs or any last things you want? Because I know Dorsch has some plugs, and I'd be shocked if Leo didn't have any. So I thought I'd ask you as well.
Oh, sure. Well, I would just encourage everybody to go out and see the film. And thanks to all of you and everyone who helped put it together. And lastly, I hope the takeaway from this conversation is that bureaucracies do not necessarily have to be boring, and it's just our framing around them. as well as the space-time continuum.
God, I'm so I think I'm in love with you.
Wow. Leo hasn't been in love in a
long time. Yeah, Leo hasn't felt.
No, and again, I'm not a sexual being, so probably won't.
24 years was the last time he had a date. He might be.
Were you the 4-year-old girl?
Wait, did you time travel?
I wish I was.
Oh, but yes. No, that girl fell into a well briefly after that, and though she is still with us, she has fully adapted to living in the well. So
I think we made a movie on something like that.
The PG&E is ziplining her sandwiches twice a day. So
I gotta invest in that company. They really do a lot.
Well, their sandwich zip lines are state of the art.
Their electricity, though, is I'd go with Eversource. Dorsch, what did you want to plug?
So back home, my the guy in the town I'm from, his name's Mike. He started his own business, and you gotta support local business, even if it's from all the way around the world. He's doing remanufactured shoes, and I'd love if you guys would buy a few pairs. Every shoe you buy goes into his bank account, so it'd be very helpful. They're really bad shoes, though. Very, really bad shoes.
I'll look into it for sure.
Same. I need more things. Leo?
Same as always from me. If you're looking for furniture, I still have some left over that I'm trying to get rid of. And if you're looking for any of my old Christian wrestling merchandise, I have that for sale on my Etsy page. Some of my old WWJD wrestling merch, my Christian wrestling merch. So please check out my store and give me a hoot and a holler. Is that a thing people say?
It sure is. Maybe. I don't know.
We shall find out.
Yeah. If people are hooting and a hollering, then you know it worked. And oh my God, I didn't say it again.
Oh, the intro to the show?
The intro to the show. Well, I guess it's never too late. What?
I still have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we were supposed to do it every week, but.
But I just forgot today, and maybe last week. The cast has gone home and the crew's in control. Welcome to Cruise Control. You know. That one's for the listeners.
Grant, do you have any plugs?
I do. Susan, my sister, who works at CERN, put out a new dissertation, and she asked me to get that out there. It's on nuclear fission.
I'm not a scientist by any means, but I didn't know people just normally publish out their dissertations for people to read, like the public, like it's a new article.
Susan likes to, she's an exhibitionist when it comes to that. She likes people to read what she writes. But
I was just going to say, I know Susan quite well, as is previously established, and she is a real showboat about her science. Brilliant mind, but
oh, she
very
is
arrogant in a way that I can't understand arrogance. I've never experienced it once in my life. So it's such a refreshing change of pace to spend time with someone who's so cocky and mm-hmm. in that way.
Oh, just wait till you see her on the big tennis court. Ugh, she's the worst doubles partner you can have. That being said, I'm looking for a new doubles partner or for big tennis. Just throwing that out there. If anyone wants to apply, you can send an email.
There's an application for your family reunion.
Yes. And you can apply by sending an email to cruisecontrolpodcast@gmail.com. That is a very real email address that has been set up. So hope to see some applications come into that.
So if there are 750 Lincoln family members that do attend and people have to apply, what's the percent of people that are getting rejected every year to attend?
Rejected? Probably 98.6%.
Holy shit.
But it just means that for that 1.4% that gets in, means that they deserve to be a Lincoln.
Cool.
Yeah. It's much like that movie, Ready or Not. Did you see that movie?
I've seen Hunger Games.
They marry into the family and they have to play a game, and if they don't win the game, they get sacrificed. Anyway,
an outro, right?
Yes. All right. Until next week, put yourself in break, and we will see you next. I've really got to work on that. I got the intro down.
You'll get it. You'll get it.
I don't really trust I'll get it.
I will. I feel next week. Hey, we have an email address now, so we better have an outro.
So send us those emails, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye. Yeah.